Turn to the book of James with me if you want to. This is not my text, but it's a word that I feel like I need to give this morning. And while you're turning there, I'm going to pray and ask the Lord. Lord, I ask you to set a guard at my lips, my mouth. I want to speak only your word. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing other than the Word of God. So I'm asking you to give your anointing to the Word and let it speak to our hearts. Let it make some changes in our lives and the way we respond to various things. Because, Lord, your Word is truth. And Scripture says you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. So let us not only be hearers of the word, but doers. Because when we do the word, we are doing the will of God. And when we are doing the will of God, we have peace in our hearts. Because nothing produces peace more quickly and more fully than full obedience to what we know you have said in your word. So give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man or woman, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. Set the whole course of his life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. That's very clear words, isn't it? We wouldn't have to have a great deal of explanation for that. It simply says, when someone says something to you that goes like this, I believe this and such to be the truth, and repeat a story, it does not make it the truth simply by what I think about it. When I repeat a story that I have heard someone give, I cannot say I know this to be true. I can only say I heard someone say it, and I have discovered that it's hard to find I heard and they say. Amen. Oh, this is starting off very solemn, isn't it, this morning? Because it's important, dear friends, it is very important for us to realize, and many of us have experienced, that words can destroy one's peace, whether they're true or false. Have you discovered that? I mean, you're going along so well, everything's just fine, and then somebody drops some words, and suddenly your peace is gone. I see heads going like this way right here. I've experienced that. I mean, I was just on the mountaintop. Boy, I felt so good. My spirit was just flowing with the glory of the Lord, and then a few words. And usually those words start with, I heard, or have you heard? As anyone said, have you heard? What they should say, have you heard the latest rumor? I have heard the latest rumor. I think the latest rumor is that this is going to be an Assembly of God church. That we're going to change the name of it. I don't know who we are, but it is not going to be an Assembly of God church, and its name will not be changed. That's a rumor. But someone said it. They might even been joking when they said it. You know, it might not even been a serious statement. Because sometimes you just say something in jest, and people may take it as something that is true, but it has an effect. Now that caused me to laugh when I heard that. It didn't hurt my peace at all. But I do hear things that are stated as fact that are in fact not fact. Amen. And if we repeat something that we do not know to be a fact, and you do not know anything to be a fact simply because somebody said it. The tongue is a deadly poison. And you can say something, repeat something that someone said, and that's all that it means. Somebody said it, but that doesn't mean that what somebody said is true. It doesn't matter how serious they are when they say it. It doesn't matter how it might seem to be. It is possible that what is told me as the truth is in fact not the truth. So if I start reacting on the basis of something that was said without any offer of proof, then I will always be disturbed, because I found out the enemy will see to it that you hear all kinds of things that are intended to take away your peace. And if he can get into a congregation and begin to stir up rumors in that congregation, he can literally destroy the peace of God's wonderful people who want to have peace and joy in their heart. Had they not heard the rumor, they might have been able to maintain the peace. This is not my sermon, by the way. It's not even a part of my sermon. It's just advice from an old gray head that's been down the road a long time. And I have watched and heard and listened carefully. And when somebody says, someone knew this or knew that, then I have to say, that's what I hear somebody say, but that doesn't mean that it is a fact. Amen. Now, that having been said, enough, a word to the wise is sufficient. I want to talk to you this morning. Here's my message now. I've got through the preamble. And now we're down to the message for today. I want to, first of all, well, here's the subject. Defining the mission and ministry of the eldership of University Park Church. Defining the mission and the ministry of the eldership of this church. Yes, this church has an eldership. It has had a group of people called elders for a long time. But what was called elders were actually functioning as deacons in the body with absolutely no authority whatsoever. They had no authority, but they were called elders. That is not the way it is today. Today, they are functioning as God-called biblical elders in the body of Christ and are functioning according to the Word of God. That has not always been the case. It is now. Read my lips. That's the way it is now. We have five elders in this body that are functioning together as an eldership. An eldership is when the group meets together and makes decisions that are based on the discussion and prayers of all five meeting together, counseling with one another, and in this case, counseling with an advisory group of people from the body. Now, what is the mission? We have an eldership. What is the mission and ministry of a biblical eldership in a local assembly of believers? Because that's what we have now. And I want to emphasize again, that's not the way it has always been. Things would probably have been a good bit different than they are had there been a biblical eldership established in this church. But this church operated through what was called a corporate board. The corporate board had all the authority in this church. The corporate board was made up of five people as well. But the corporate board had all the authority. The eldership had virtually none other than what they were granted in specific cases from the corporate board. That changed before I came here, I'm happy to say. I'm not a part of that change. It occurred before I ever came. But immediately upon the resignation of the pastor, the corporate board came together and voted that never again would decisions be made, would have to be made by the unanimous approval of the corporate board. Now it can function with a simple majority of the corporate board. And the simple majority of the corporate board says, this church has to function by an eldership, the way the Scripture teaches. Amen. A biblical eldership that understands what their purpose is. Now, what is it? Defining the mission and ministry of an eldership. Number one, it is the mission and ministry of the eldership to, number one, preach and teach the Word of God. This right here. We teach and preach the Word of God. Hallelujah. The whole truth. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth that is set forth in the Word of God. That's this book right here. Have you got one with you? Raise it up like this. This is the Word of God. And this is what eldership is committed to preach and to teach. And that's what the Scripture says we ought to be doing. It says that it pleased God by what the world calls the foolishness of preaching to save people that are lost. Amen. So the mission and the ministry of eldership is to preach and teach the Word of God in order that people might be saved from eternal separation from God. Amen. And I don't like that thought, because connected with that seems to be a very painful condition. Amen. So it is the responsibility of the eldership, first of all, to preach and teach the Word of God, not only by word, but by example. Amen. Eldership is to demonstrate the Word of God before the people. That's what leaders do. Leaders stand out and they walk the straight and narrow way. I'm not implying that they're perfect and will not maybe at some point make a mistake, but I know what has to happen when they do. They have to repent and turn back to the Lord and cry out for help. And when they do, God forgives. Amen. God forgives when they do that. When they don't, they disqualify themselves as eldership in the body and will, in fact, be replaced by the eldership. One of the things I noticed about this church when I came here back 3 months ago, I noticed this. I travel a lot and probably have been responsible to a great extent for early morning prayer in a lot of churches across America. You remember that's one of the first things I said when I came here. I believe God said start early morning prayer. Start early morning prayer. And begin to honor the person of the Holy Spirit. And we've attempted to do that. We got early morning prayer started. But here's the thing about early morning prayer that a lot of you don't know. The eldership is present at the early morning prayer meeting. One of the few churches I've ever been in where the eldership was actually present in early morning prayer. And that's not just one day a week. That's day after day. Day after day, they're in the place of prayer exactly where they're supposed to be. Amen. Because it's not enough just to speak the Word. Right? Just to teach the Word. Just to preach the Word. Listen, I heard of a preacher who once said, "Don't do as I do, do as I say." And somebody says, "What you do speaks louder than what you say." Amen. Doesn't matter what you say, it's what you do that people are going to follow. And that's why it's important that leadership live a life that is walking in obedience to the will of God. And any one of us ought to be able to say, "Follow me. If you want to get to heaven, follow me. That's where I'm headed." That's what I've said. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, you follow me. If you want to get to heaven, follow me. Just step right in my steps. That's where I'm headed. And I'm not turning around. I'm not turning back. I'm not deviating off from the path. I know where I'm going. And if you want to get there, follow me. Hallelujah. And I believe every one of these men who are serving this church now as a biblical eldership can say that very same thing. If you want to know what I think about things, watch me a little while. You want to know what I think about drinking? Watch me a while. You want to know what I think about messing around where I don't have any business being? Watch me a while. You want to know what I think about prayer and the Word of God? Watch me a while. Follow me. No brag. Just fact. Amen. That's just the way it is. If you don't believe it, ask my wife. She'll tell the truth. Now, I might lie a little bit once in a while, but she won't. I might kind of feather it a little bit, you know. Not her. I mean, whatever she says, you can depend on. Exactly that way. She won't feather anything. She's not going to feather it. I might sometimes. I hope you're taking that as a joke. But listen, we've got a... I've come to appreciate these men. I really have. They've been through a difficult time. They've got charged with things they're not guilty of. I know that. Not because of what they've said. I've watched them. I've listened to them. I've heard what they're saying. They take this position seriously. And they're trying to set a proper example before the people. Have they never made a mistake? If they hadn't, they'd already been in heaven. He'd have probably just took them right on. Oh, they've been, yes. I'm sure they didn't tell me what they were, but I'm just sure they've been mistakes. Amen. Sometime I'll ask Candy or Rhonda. I'll find out what these mistakes were, but it doesn't matter. I know their heart. I know where they are. And the primary responsibility in defining the mission and ministry of the eldership is they preach and teach not only by word but by example what the Scripture is saying. And through that, our goal is to win some to the Lord, to see people brought in. Amen. And these men are functioning within the area of their gifts. They're functioning that way in the eldership according to their gifts. Second thing that they have to do, the second part of their mission and ministry is make disciples. Make disciples of all those who respond to the Word of God and respond to the call to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, it wasn't enough just to bring these people forward this morning. And I tell you what, we've got a gifted elder who can give an invitation and people will respond to them. That's why I defer to him most of the time, because God has anointed him to give an invitation. He does it better than I do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And here they came this morning, what, 6 or 7 of them that came down here. Well, that's not all there is to it. We have to now make disciples out of these people. And we make disciples out of them because we go further than that. We take them into a back room and we get them signed up, if we possibly can, for a class called Finding the Rock. They'll know about that and they'll be encouraged to be a part of Finding the Rock, which will be taught. In fact, we're teaching, we're beginning a new session tonight. And maybe some of these will be in that session tonight, learning, developing, beginning to move into a discipleship program that can bring them, hopefully, to a more mature relationship with the Lord and hopefully become useful in the kingdom of God. So then, not only back there, they not only heard about this discipleship program, they also heard about finding the rock, about the care ministry of this church. And they're going to be encouraged to get into a care group, a small group in their community where they can have fellowship with members of this body. Because the ministry and mission of eldership is to get people discipled and to get them into a relationship with people in the body so they can't get tricked by the enemy the moment they're saved, led off in a different direction. Not only that, but on Wednesday night, here it is right here. I got it right here. This might be good to look at this. Wednesday night, look at all this. All kinds of things are going on. Why? To build disciples, to make disciples. Amen. Singles Bible study. Flight. I'll find out what that is one day. Spin. But this is youth things that happen on Sunday, young single adults, and then prime timers, and then growth groups, and then music and arts ministry rehearsals, and all that, and then spin again on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're spinning and doing all kinds of stuff here. But what I'm trying to say is, eldership realizes that their responsibility is not only to bring people forward on Sunday, but to get them into the kind of teaching and training where they can grow up and become useful in the kingdom of God. Matthew 28:19 says, we are to make disciples. Go make disciples of all nations. And the word nations there is ethnic groups. And in this church, thank God, ethnic groups are represented and always welcomed. It doesn't matter whether people are black or red or yellow or white or whatever. He used to sing a little song. Red and yellow, black and white. They're precious in His sight. We taught them that in Sunday school. Now, there were Sunday schools that might have taught a little song like this. Just as long as they are white, they are precious in His sight. Well, that's what some people kind of think. Not so here. Not so in this place. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we were told to win them and to disciple them, and every ethnic group, every strata of society, the wealthy up and outers or the low down and outers. It doesn't matter. Our ministry has to reach to all of them, and we have to be willing and ready to see them growing up in the Lord. Another part of the mission and ministry of the eldership of this church is to train and equip disciples to do the work of the ministry effectively. Amen. That's the mission. The mission and ministry of eldership is not simply to get people discipled, but that is to equip them now to move into an effective ministry in the body of Christ. And that's the goal. That's what we do. That's what we're doing. Day and night, 6 days a week. That's what we're doing. We do get a day off once in a while. I know sometimes I jokingly say to the early morning prayer meeting about 7 o'clock, you guys go on to work. We can't all be preachers. But I hope they know I'm joking about that, because I don't think anyone who is truly called to the mission and ministry and is a true elder in the body of Christ, not one of them that I know that's serious about this is going to do anything but try to work, 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 work. Why? Because it's going to be over one of these days. Amen. We're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. And until then, there's not much time for sitting around. Amen. Until that day, we're going to work. Why? Because we have a mission and we have a ministry. And a part of that is to get you discipled and trained and equipped to do the work of the ministry, as it is clearly stated in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verses 11 to 16. And then the fourth part of the mission and ministry of the eldership is to lead the whole body of believers into a higher level of faith and into a deeper and more intimate relationship with God and with one another. That's the mission and ministry. You see, it's not enough. I know in a lot of churches, all you need to do is simply come forward on a Sunday morning and then make the next baptismal service, and you're set. And that's where most people are. They set. Amen. They sit until they are set. And they never go any further. That is not the mission or the ministry of a biblical eldership. And what you're getting into now is a biblical eldership. Oh, they were functioning this way. They were functioning in a sense. They were doing all these kind of things. But they really were serving as deacons in the house rather than as biblical elders. Things have changed. Read my lips. Things have changed. It will never be the same as it was in the past. Because you've got, thank God, you've got some men who are committed to biblical eldership and have committed themselves to whatever effort it takes to see that kind of thing functioning in this body of believers. Let's look at chapter 1 of Ephesians 15 to 22. For this reason, he says, ever since I heard about your faith, he's talking to the church at Ephesus, about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Who is talking here? Elder Paul. He called himself an elder. As he did, he's an apostle too. But he was an apostle elder. He was an elder in the body. Amen. And he's saying, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Oh, we're not remembering every individual person in the church in our prayers, but I promise you, 5 days a week right here in this place, you're remembered as a part of this body, beginning with the children, amen, the youth, the single adults, the single married, the single parents, fathers and mothers, the young married people, the older married people, the senior adults. Everyone in this church is being remembered daily. And some of you specifically. Why? Because that's the work and ministry of eldership. That's what we do. Because we got sheep out there. We're trying to figure out now how to find how our sheep are gone before it reaches 6 or 8 weeks. But in a congregation of this size, it's not easy to determine who is not present unless we take a roll, and I don't think we are ready for doing that kind of thing. But listen, shepherds have to watch the sheep. It's sheep we're responsible for. And listen, when you know a sheep is gone, you need to first of all tell your care leader. And they'll tell us. And we'll make a special effort to find that sheep before they get tricked up by the enemy and become a meal for a wolf out there somewhere. Amen. It's our business. That's what we do. That's our ministry. That's our mission. And he says, here's what I've been remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know Him better. What's all this about? We want you to know Him better. I want to know Him better. Do you? I want to know Him better. I want you to know Him better. Amen. And a part of our mission is to bring all of us into the place where we can know Him better in the future than we've known Him in the past. Hallelujah. It's to get you involved. Get you involved in the kind of thing that is a meaningful effort to make this world a better place. Though we don't intend to live here forever, we want to have an influence on this world while we're here. Some of you could probably do that if you just attended this Right to Life meeting this afternoon. Where does that start? Over here at... over on Hewland Street. What church was it? Yeah. Well, some of you know about it, and I'd heard about it. But you can get involved. Just be over there and show that you're against this mighty evil that's going on in our nation today. Legally killing our children before they're ever born. That's a curse. We need to get involved as much as we can in that kind of thing. I mean, standing up and being counted. In our world, in our generation, making a difference. Amen. Do you want to make a difference? These things, reaching and teaching the word, reaching, preaching and teaching the word of God, making disciples of all who respond to the word, training and equipping disciples to do the work of the ministry, leading the whole body of believers into a higher level of faith and into a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Father. That's the ministry. That's the mission of eldership. And you need to be proud and thankful to God that you have an eldership that is taking that very place and leading this church in these very ways, because they know their mission and they're committed to their ministry. I think they ought to have an expression of thanksgiving to God. Hallelujah. Let's just praise the Lord for the eldership of this body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.